The help of the Lord on grace. Grace is not a new thing for the New Testament. Grace is an old thing that come from the Old Testament. Abraham lived under grace. Abraham had no law. Isaac, Jacob, and all those old patriarchs, they didn't have any law. The law didn't come until after them. And so what God did for Abraham and all the early folks over there was by grace. And when Abraham took Isaac up on the Mount Moriah to offer him as a sacrifice because God told him to, and he told Isaac on the way up there, God will provide for himself a sacrifice, and by the grace of God, that's what he did. And so I want to try to preach tonight for a few minutes on grace. And I was thinking today, everybody is somebody by God's grace. And if you're not, you can be. There's not a one of us here tonight that can't be something for God through God's grace and by God's grace. And without the grace of God, none of us could do anything. But I want to read tonight from the book of Matthew. I was thinking about the Christmas story. This is the time of year for that. And I want to be reading a little bit concerning the lineage of Christ in Matthew chapter number 1. And you Bible readers, you'll probably be ahead of me on some of the things that I'm going to be saying tonight. But I tell you, it's important to realize the grace of God. It's a marvelous thing. Paul said in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 8, by grace are you saved, not of yourselves, but through faith, and not of yourselves, but it's the gift of God. And grace is something that God has always offered to all men. And I want to read concerning the lineage of Christ tonight, about 16 verses in chapter number 1 of the book of Matthew, 17 verses, I guess. And then I'm going to try to bring just a little short message tonight. The Bible said the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas, his brother, and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah by Thamar. And Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. And Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Booz, and Rechab of Rechab, and Booz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon, and her that had been the wife of Urias. And Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa, and Asa begat Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias, and Ozias begat Jotham, and Jotham begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Ezekias, and Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Ammon, and Ammon begat Josias, and Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. After they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiad, and Abiad begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azar, and Azar begat Zadok, and Zadok begat Achim, and Achim begat Eluid, And Eliud begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Mathan, and Mathan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away of Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We ask you, Lord, just to bless in the message that you've laid on our heart for this evening. Lord, I ask you, God, just to help us to realize and, Father, just reach out and embrace the wonderful grace of God. Lord, just be with us tonight, Father. And God, I ask you to touch every heart that came out tonight. Lord, I know that everybody here had other things that we could have done, but we're proud and thankful to be in the house of God. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be here one more time. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is kind of a funny scripture reading, I suppose, for a message on grace, but I want to pick out just a few of these verses that we've read and a few people in here. And Matthew, I don't think Matthew could spell real good. I can't read real good on these names. And I start reading them, I try to read them the way they are in the Old Testament, and they're not the same over here, but that doesn't change the people in it. They're still the same people. I don't know if Matthew had a learning disability and couldn't spell good, or if he had a hearing disability and couldn't hear the words. I don't know. But for some reason, he has changed just about every name that's in here. If you go back in the Old Testament and look up these names that is mentioned, there's hardly any of them. David spelled the same way, and Abraham maybe, and other than that, the rest of them are different. They just you read this and you may not even realize that they're the same people, but they really are. And I'm thankful that God saw fit, and through this genealogy of Christ, which is what this is, from Abraham to Christ, that's the genealogy. Why from Abraham to Christ? Because God promised Abraham a seed, and that was in Isaac. And he promised him this. He made him these promises back way years ago. And Jesus came through the lineage of Abraham. And God promised Abraham that he would be known as the father of all living. And he is through Christ Jesus. And but I want to just take a few of these names. Most of them you realize that I couldn't even pronounce, and I don't know how you pronounce them. And I've said many times, I'm glad that my mom and dad didn't give me some of these names, because, well, one thing, you wouldn't have to worry about anybody calling you, because they wouldn't know how to say your name. So, but anyway, in verse number 3, I want to point out a couple of folks here. The Bible said in verse 3, and Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Thamar, and Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. Now the names that I want to point out here in this verse of Scripture, and if you that have read the Old Testament, I believe just about everybody in here has, except some of the, maybe the children, and some of them may have even read it, I don't know. But you remember Judas, that's Judah, that's one of the sons of Jacob. And the other name in here that is Thamar. It's not Thamar in the Old Testament, it's Tamar. And that was Judah's daughter-in-law by one of his sons. And the son died, and Judah said, "You remain a widow, and when my other son gets old enough, he will marry you and have children under the first son. Now that's the way the law taught them and instructed them to do these things. Well, Tamar remained a widow, but when the boy grew up, he didn't take her to wife. So Tamar, if you read back over there in Genesis, you find that she played the part of a harlot. And so she sat down by the wayside, and Judah happened by, and Judah went into her and gave her some of his belongings, a staff, I believe, and maybe a signet. And then he said, "I'll bring you a lamb and get these things back." Only thing was, when he tried to take the lamb, she was nowhere to be found. And so finally, you remember the way the story goes, that somebody came to Judah and said, "Tamar is with child." And so Judah said, "Bring her and we'll burn her." And when they brought her, she said, "I'm with child by the man that owns these things." And she gave him back his staff and his signet. And Judah stood back and said, "She is more righteous than I am." This was all done in sin. But you see, in the lineage of Christ, here these two people are. Man, I want to tell you something. That is the grace of God in its fullest. I mean, how much more grace can you imagine than a God that would take two people that acted like they did and put them in the very lineage of the Son of God that was born into the world to take away the sins of man? Pretty good grace, I think. And that's the way God is. And we might say, "Well, wonder why God found grace with them." Well, you might ask, "Why did God find grace with me?" You see, we're all rotten to the core. I mean, every one of us, there's nothing good about any of us. We're just born in sin. We're sinners, and there's nothing you can do to change that. But I'm thank God today that Jesus can do something to change me. In verse number 5, the Bible said Solomon begat Booz. And Booz is nobody but Boaz in the book of Ruth. And the Bible said that Solomon begat Booz of Rahab. Rahab is not Rahab, but it's Rahab in the book of Joshua. And that was another harlot. When Joshua sent spies into the land and they came to Jericho, this woman that named Rahab saw them and took them and hid them in her house to keep them from being captured by the folks over there in Jericho. And she said, "Because I've shown you kindness, when you all come over here, you show me kindness." They said, these people's spirit has run out of them. Their heart is melted because of the children of Israel. They know you're coming, and they know you're coming with a force, and everybody's scared to death, and us too. So I'm asking for your mercy. And they said, "Okay." She let them down by the wall by a scarlet thread, a rope, and they said, "When we come, you tie this scarlet thread in this window, and when we see it, we'll not kill anybody that's inside of this house." Now we're talking about just a harlot down in Jericho that probably nobody down there even cared much for or admired very much. But when these spies went back and told Joshua what had happened, he said, "Okay, when we take the city, you go in and take Rahab and everybody." They said, "If you want your family saved, bring them in here with you and keep them in your house. Everybody that's in your house will be spared." And so God's mercy and God's grace went to work again, and they brought them out alive. killed everybody in Jericho except Rahab the harlot. That's the only thing you know her by. What a name to be known by. I tell you, sometimes people know your reputation better than they know your name, and it's not very good a lot of times. But they brought Rahab the harlot and her mom and dad and some other family members out, and they joined right up with the folks of Israel. And the Bible teaches us that Rahab married one of those people in Israel, and here she is in the lineage of Christ.
Right, amen.
Is that the grace of God, or is that the grace of God? I tell you, God's grace and God's mercy, it's beyond anything that man can understand or imagine.
Amen.
This Booz, the Bible said that Salmon begat Booz of Rahab. This is Boaz. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And you know, Boaz married Ruth when she came back from down in the land of Moab. Now this was a place that God had instructed Israel to not have anything to do with the Moabites because of the way they treated Israel when they came out of Egypt. And so they wasn't even to be down there. But you remember how Naomi and Abimelech, they was a famine in Bethlehem. And instead of staying and getting their heart right with God, and instead of praying for God to bless, they just took off and ran and left it and went to Moab. When you get away from God and His love and His Spirit, the first stop you'll make is somewhere where you got no business being. And that's what they did. They went down to Moab, and the sons of Abimelech and Naomi, they married Moabite women. And then Abimelech died, and then her two sons died. And she told her daughter-in-laws to go back to their people, but one of them went back. Orpha, I believe is her name. I get her confused with Oprah. But she went back, but Ruth said, "I'm not going back. I'm going to stay with you." Listen, I want to tell you something. Anybody through the whole entire Word of God, we preach sometimes like the Jews was the only ones that had the grace of God. But I want to tell you something. Anybody that sought God's grace, anybody that sought God's love could find it. It was very rare, but you read through the old Bible and you find people just here and there that found the grace and the mercy of God because they sought it with all their heart. They turned from their idols, they turned from their false worship, and they turned to God, and God blessed them with His amazing grace. So Ruth told Naomi, "I'm not going back. I'm going with you. I don't care what you say. I'm me and you together." And that's just the way it is. And so she went back to Bethlehem. And then you find where Boaz married, after a process of time, he married Ruth. And they begat Obed, which was the son of the father of Jesse. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse was King David's father. So Boaz would have been, and Ruth would have been David's great grandparents. You see, through all the grace of God, through the mercies of God, these two people, especially Boaz didn't have a problem, but Ruth's the one that had the problem, and she is in the lineage of Jesus Christ because of God's marvelous grace. Not man, she had everything going against her. Not only was she not an Israelite, but she was a Moabite. And that's two slugs against her already. And yet, she's in the lineage of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. How did that happen? Well, I'd say, you know, a lot of folks today, they say, well, I'm the way I am because the way my parents was and the way my grandparents was. I don't put much stock in that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter what your parents were. It doesn't matter what your grandparents were. I know they might have taught you bad things, and I know that sometimes you learn things and all that. But I want to tell you something. When you get in Christ Jesus, none of that matters anymore. When you get in Christ Jesus, when you search out God and you turn your heart and life over to God, it doesn't matter what your ancestry is.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Your grandpa could have been a chicken thief and your great-grandpa a horse thief. That doesn't affect you in God's kingdom. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents did. I heard a preacher one time preaching. He said, when I was just a little baby, he said, I don't remember this, but I heard about it later on. He said, my dad was a gangster out in Los Angeles or somewhere. And he said he would disassemble a submachine gun and hide it under my baby bed. But he didn't turn out like that. He turned out to be a preacher. You see, it doesn't matter what your people do. It doesn't matter what stock you come from. People say, well, they come from bad stock, they're going to be bad. Not if they get in Christ, they're not going to be bad. If they don't get in Christ, they may be just exactly what people say. But I want to tell you something. God is a difference maker. And Oprah went back to her people, and Ruth said, I'm going with your people. Your God's going to be my God. And where you die, I'm going to die. And where you live, I'm going to live. And nothing is ever going to separate us. If we make a commitment like that to God, I want to tell you something. He'll bless you no matter what your background is. So Boaz, or Booz as Matthew called him, had Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse, of course, was King David's father. In verse 16, Bible said, and Jesse begat David the king. And David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Now it didn't mention Bathsheba here, but that's who it was. Matthew, maybe he couldn't spell Bathsheba. The way he spelled the rest of these, I don't know. I don't know about that. But it didn't say Bathsheba, but really, seriously, Bathsheba wasn't the one that had the sin problem. It was David. Bathsheba didn't go out to instigate to do something wrong. It was King David that instituted all that happened between them. And so that's one reason I think that that he didn't mention Bathsheba's name. But he did say that King David had a son named Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Now, Uriah didn't make it into the lineage because he got killed, but his wife, and where she come from, I'm not even sure. I don't know anything much about her except that David committed sin with her, and then she wound up in the lineage of Jesus. Listen, I want to tell you something. The grace of God that had appeared to all men, the grace of God, it's a marvelous grace. And it might have been, John Newton might have been looking at some of this stuff when he wrote down, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He was a slave trader. He was probably the least likely person in the world to ever get saved. And all of a sudden, one day, guess what? He found himself saved, born again into the family of God. It's no wonder he wrote the song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Listen, God's grace is marvelous. God's grace is beyond any understanding that we could have of it today. God's grace reaches farther and reaches longer distance. It's like the love of God. We sang a song sometime, God's love, and his love is higher and wider and deeper, and it goes farther than anything that we can imagine. We just can't explain the marvelous love and grace and mercy of God. Verse 10, he said, and Ezekias, which is Hezekiah in the Old Testament, he was the king. He was the one that they sent word. Isaiah went to him and told him, set your house in order because you're going to die and not live. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, and somebody said he repented. He didn't repent. He just turned his face to the wall and said, God, you know the life I've lived. He didn't say, I'm sorry for my sin. He said, you know what I've done. And God said, yeah, I do. So he added 15 years to his life. During that 15-year period of time, he had a son named Manasseh. And Manasseh was the most evil, wicked king that Judah ever had. And I believe the Bible says those very words somewhere. And when you're reading about Manasseh, he was wicked. Hezekiah was a good king. And this is another reason why that I don't put much stock in people saying, well, you don't know my family. I don't have to know your family. I know God, and if He's your father, that's the only family I need to know about. Hezekiah was a good king, and his son Manasseh was the worst that ever came down the pike. The way I read it, he was worse than Ahab. Ahab was the king of Israel, and Manasseh was the king of Judah, and they was both wicked, evil kings. And you think, if God would have went ahead and took Hezekiah, there wouldn't have been a Manasseh. And that's true, there wouldn't have been. It would have done away with the wickedness had Hezekiah died. So you might question, why did God allow Hezekiah 15 more years, and during that 15-year period of time, this wicked king was born? Well, that's not the end of it. Manasseh begat Amon, and Amon begat Josias. Now Josias was one of the best kings that Judah ever had. He's the one that went out and cleansed the land. He's the one that took Baal out of the temple. He was the one that spent about his whole life and all of his efforts trying to cleanse the land of sin and wickedness. And so if there hadn't have been a Manasseh, there wouldn't have been an Amon, and there wouldn't have been a Josias, you see. So God, He sees in His vision, in His long range sight, He can see what's coming down the road next. Josiah is the one that went to over there where Jeroboam was offering, or Rehoboam, whichever one it was, offering sacrifices to Baal. And the prophets of Baal died, and they put them in tombs over there. And Josiah went over there and he said, take all the prophets of Baal, their bones, out of the tomb and burn them. Get away, just do away with them completely. They've been dead for 100 years or longer. And he said, I don't care. Get their bones out and destroy them. Just rid the nation of all that stuff. And then he looked and saw an inscription on the tomb and he said, what does that mean? They said, well, that's the man of God that came and told this king down here that you was coming. He said, a man named Josiah is going to come down here and he's going to take care of business when he gets here. And they said, that's him. And Josiah said, just leave him alone. See, God's grace. This man, Josiah, Hezekiah found his way into the lineage of Christ. His son, wicked King Manasseh, found his way into the lineage of Christ. And Josiah found himself in the lineage of Christ. Listen, these people, most of the people, and I don't know, if you sat down and studied out all the people, all the names in here, you may find that every one of them had problems of some kind. I don't know. I mean, I've not really sat down and studied it out. I'm just reading about the ones that I know about tonight. And just about every one of them that I've mentioned had some kind of a problem, but still, by the grace and mercy of God, they were in the lineage of Jesus Christ coming into this world. Like I said, everybody is somebody by God's grace. People say, sometimes I hear people, they say, oh, I'm just a nobody. No, you're not a nobody. You're somebody. You're somebody. Now, what you are, I don't know. That depends on you and God. That depends on what you want to be. You can be a lot of things that you're not if you just want to be. If you seek God and try to get close enough to God, listen, there's nothing that's impossible with God. And when we read about Tamar and how that she's in the lineage of Christ, when we read about Rahab, the harlot, not only a Rahab the harlot, but Rahab the Gentile harlot. And she's in the lineage of Christ. And we read about Ruth the Gentile. She's in the lineage of Christ. And we read about Manasseh the wicked king, and he's in the lineage of Christ. Listen, there's nothing that is out of reach as long as it's covered by the grace of God. God's grace is just absolutely marvelous. There's nothing that could ever be better than the grace of God. And I'm glad He had grace on me. I'm glad for the grace of God that came to where I was and offered me a way to reach the old rugged cross and Calvary, so that I could be born into the family of God. I tell you, I can talk about it all night long, but it just doesn't explain the grace, the wonderful, marvelous grace of God. It's the most fantastic thing that I believe that there ever has been in the entire world, is the grace of God, the love of God. It's God's grace that caused Him to send His Son. And John 3:16, for God so loved this world, it's because of the grace of God. He should have looked at the world and said, I don't want nothing else to do with them. But He couldn't do that. His grace. Paul said, I had a thorn in my side, and I besought God 3 times about it. And He said, my grace is sufficient for that. Listen, God's grace is sufficient for whatever problem you have in your life. I don't care what it is. Anything you're facing, God's grace is sufficient to get you through that. God's marvelous, wonderful, amazing grace. I tell you, Jacob, when you get down here to the end of this lineage, the Bible said, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ. Joseph just got in by being the husband of Mary. And he was in the lineage of Christ. Listen, most of these folks didn't do anything to warrant getting into this family. They didn't do anything to warrant getting into this lineage. But God's amazing grace brought them in through love and through mercy. And I tell you, it's a marvelous, wonderful thing God's grace is. And I thank God that for this day, and just a few hours, going to be Christmas, and I'm thankful that God's grace is sufficient to cover all of our sins. He can cover all of our wrongdoings. He can cover all of our shortcomings. He just covers us. His grace is just magnificent. And you know something? It never runs out. Never does. Never runs out. I might have grace for somebody once, and maybe even twice. But after you've been snake bit 2 or 3 times, you've learned to leave snakes alone. So I may not be as good as maybe some people think I should be, but God's grace is sufficient. God's marvelous grace. You can slap Him in the face, turn around, walk off, and leave Him. And when you come back, He's still standing there, waiting to take you back in. Man, if that ain't amazing grace, I don't know what it is. But one day, God's grace is going to run out. One day, we're going to reach a place where we're going to leave this world. The Bible says it's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. And I tell you, there's not going to be much grace at the white throne judgment. There won't be any grace at the white throne judgment. The grace will be over at that time. But anyway, that's the message. And we'll ask Miss Christie and Brother Bob come just get us a verse of a song. I don't like to close any service without an invitation. You may be here tonight and you may need to come and pray. I don't know anybody's heart, but you just obey God this evening. Father, we thank you for giving us another privilege to stand. Thank you, God, for this service, Lord, and all those that have showed up tonight, Lord, Christmas Eve night. Father, we thank you for everybody that's come out. Lord, I ask you to touch hearts here this evening. Lord, I ask you, God, if nothing else, just to bless hearts and cause us to stop and realize and think about the amazing grace that you have for mankind. God, be with us through this invitation song. God, I ask you just to bless each one here. Lord, help us as we leave tonight, Father, to go to our homes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.